BYUSN Cougar football has enjoyed the role of underdog for much of the season en route to a 6-0 start, but what is the chip on the shoulder for the Cougars as big favorites against Oklahoma State? Does BYU have a case right now to be the best team in the Big 12? We'll compare the Cougars' resume with the other two Big 12 unbeatens.
College football writer Barry Trammell will join us to preview BYU-Oklahoma State. Who will start at quarterback for the Cowboys and what's going on with Ollie Gordon? The second. And wide receiver Keelan Marion looks ahead to tomorrow night. Share some insights into Darius Lassiter's touchdown celebration.
Let him dance! Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Thursday, October 17th, I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan the first, and also a man who has a wealth of sweaters ready to rock for the fall and winter weather.
That probably is my preferred sort of, top, is like a hoodie or a sweater or whatever. Are you going hunting later? Is that the situation?
That's
here?
Exactly what I was hoping you would say.
Well,
the joke that I was hoping you would bring
up. I can only see
out.
Your hands in your head.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, we've got it out of the way. It only took how many seconds into the show?
That clock's off, so I don't know. A minute 10?
Over under was 3 minutes before you would reference the military jacket.
I've never been hunting. I don't plan on it. I'm not anti. I just haven't done it. Have you been hunting?
I've never hunted in my life.
When's hunting season around here? It's a big deal.
There are a few.
Yeah.
It depends on what you are hunting.
Yeah.
And where you want to do it.
I need to ask the Bowers volleyball family. Like, they hunt like nobody's business.
Idaho. They're Idaho people. Yeah.
Nampa.
That's what they do.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Absolutely. Great. Have you ever fished? Does that count as hunting? Did you hunt fish?
Like on a young men's camp out in scouts, you know, Eagle Scout things, all that stuff. Yeah, but barely.
Hey, listen.
I'm not an outdoors guy, dude. I'm indoors. In fact, I rarely call even outdoor sports, Spence. I'm like one soccer game a year. I do indoor volleyball and a little bit of basketball.
Hey, you're comfortable.
Yeah.
The climate is comfortable for you. Listen, BYU might have had the camouflage on as a football team sneaking up on folks. They're not sneaking up on anybody right now. With that said, time to rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
That was a sour taste and a sore spot for us. And so this is a chance for us to try to make things right.
They've got a good team. They're mature. They're playing with confidence. Quarterback's playing really good at this time. And they're getting good pass rush. They get good pressure on the quarterback.
What's trending? Presented by Tim Daly Ford, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. Remember when BYU had their bowl game dreams dashed in Stillwater, Oklahoma last year? One of the most difficult locker rooms I've ever encountered as a reporter in this job. It was gut-wrenching to watch that 24-6 lead slip away. Since that time, Jeremy, it feels like BYU has been playing with a massive chip on the shoulder, and it led into the offseason, and then 4.5 wins were projected, and off we go. So after being projected to win those 4.5 games, and coaches saying BYU would finish 13th in the Big 12 preseason poll, they certainly have embraced the underdog role. But that's probably gone because BYU 6-0, they're 13th in the national rankings and now a 9-point favorite against that Oklahoma State team that dashed their bowl game dreams. So with that said and that backdrop, Jerem, what in the world is BYU's chip on the shoulder going into Friday night's game with the Cowboys?
First off, we asked the question, what is the idiom chip on the shoulder? Apparently, in the 18th century, you would put a wood chip
block,
on your shoulder.
A block of wood, a chip of wood.
And then you would challenge someone in like a bar to knock it off or something.
Good sir, I challenge you to knock this off my shoulder.
So, and for some reason, they spoke like that. But now that you know that, it reminds me of The Last Dance when Michael Jordan was like, and I took that personally. Mm. What is BYU taking personally to have that chip on the shoulder, to sort of have an edge to them? There's a couple of things here. Last year's game certainly should factor into this. I think it should be the number one chip on the shoulder factor for BYU. We let that lead go and lost after being up 24-6 at halftime. Like, how is that not? And like you said, it prevented BYU going to a bowl game. I wonder if BYU's offseason preparation, certain changes on the coaching staff, were necessary given that they didn't go to a bowl game. What if BYU goes to a bowl game? Is it status quo, like it was first year in the Big 12 they built? Was there anything positive from not going to a bowl game? I think we're seeing that there was. Sometimes you have to dip to get up. Like, I think that maybe what happened last year helped BYU get to 6-0. They've certainly been motivated. The hope is that you could do it even if you were 6-6. But that loss has certainly influenced this season in a major way. In fact, here's what quarterback Jake Retzlaff and linebacker Isaiah Glasker had to say about last year's game's motivation for this year.
I would say probably for last year's game. They got us last year. We were up quite a bit, and they just came back and got us.
This is a game where we know we're going to get all of what they got, and at the same time, this is a game where we remember late November. We remember that. So we're coming out ready this week because we know we own one.
We owe them one. That's some strong language. I like that. So certainly that's one. Two, not that this matters to them, but BYU's never beaten Oklahoma State. Two
losses and three.
Bowl games, 74 Fiesta, 76 Tangerine, and 23 in Stillwater. Okay. The other thing is, show the pollsters that you deserve to be higher than some of the one-loss teams ahead of you. Continue to win.
Or Iowa State, for that matter.
I was going to get to that. Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, LSU, Clemson, Tennessee, Notre Dame are one-loss teams ahead of BYU. And BYU does not have a loss. Continue to win, and you will climb. And then there's trying to overtake Iowa State as the top-ranked team in the Big 12. So I think there are certainly things to be motivated by. BYU is or will eventually cross the threshold of no one believes in us. People believe in BYU quite a bit right now. How do you stay motivated at the same level and continue to play with that edge? There are still reasons to do so this week. And as you get more successful as a program, like Alabama and Georgia, they're not like, no one believes in us. Like, no, everyone thinks you're going to win almost every week. How are you going to stay motivated at the top? I can't wait for BYU to go on this journey and continue on this journey of, like, how do we handle success?
I hope at least one or multiple coaches on BYU staff are oft reminding the players of what that locker room in Stillwater felt like. It was so somber. So, I mean, Jake Retzlaff was... He did a great job controlling his emotions, but you understand the frustration was at its peak because back-to-back weeks, you're so close to knocking off one Oklahoma, you fall short, and then you're up 24-6 at Oklahoma State. Just all you got to do is win that game, and you're going to a bowl game. You start to build. You get the extra weeks of practice. So to have that snatched away in double overtime was an absolute gut punch. So if I'm a coach, I'm reminding the team of that locker room and that feeling. And I know that it's a little bit of a mind game, but why not buy into it? BYU has bought into a bunch of the other disrespect that we have brought up so often on this show, whether it be what Vegas projections say or what the Big 12 coaches say. And then even after they got out to a quick start, it was, yeah, well, how much can they keep it going? Really? I mean, the fall off
when
is
they're
coming,
gonna fall
right?
off the cliff, right?
When's it going to happen? This is what BYU does. They win a few games, they're 3-0, and then they get destroyed. That hasn't happened thus far. So I like the Oklahoma State edge, which is Jake's words, we owe them one.
We owe them one.
And remember what that was like. Frankly, if it took BYU getting to that low point and missing a bowl game and being 5-7 to get to where they are now, then great.
Yeah,
just like we said with basketball. If it took a fifth place finish for a second straight year in the West Coast Conference.
No NIT. Come on.
And then you do what you did last. Great.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes that, and that is a mental edge. So I hope BYU is remembering that. I wonder how much the rankings that you brought up actually matter to BYU and how much they're paying attention to, well, why is Iowa State ranked higher than this team? Why is Clemson, who got obliterated by Georgia, ranked higher than BYU? And
Notre Dame
who lost to Northern Illinois at home?
Hey, good teams lose to Northern Illinois in the last 5 years.
And at home.
Or 6 years. Good programs.
But then again, I kind of love that BYU is in this position where they can use that as added fuel if they want. I'd rather they be 13 than 10 and be like, we're better than those guys.
Yeah.
Go prove it.
Yes, go prove it. I remember watching the Oklahoma State post game and Jake Retzlaff talking to you and him being like almost tearing up.
It was like tough.
He was tearing up. He didn't openly cry, but it was close. Tyler Batty coming out and talking to you, and I respect those guys for coming out after that. That's not the time you want to chat about.
No, the grit of the teeth, the chin quivering.
Emotional.
You're just so upset.
Yeah, great jawlines, by the way, for those
guys.
But
oh,
yeah, there's reasons to be motivated. And eventually BYU gets to the top and stays on top, and you have to learn how to handle that success. BYU's learning how to handle success right now, which is great. Because what we hope is this carries over to next year as well, this success, and you keep it going. But also, think about what Jake Retzlaff felt in that moment after Oklahoma State last year. He's 0-4 as a starter. He stepped in when BYU had 5 wins, and they couldn't get one to get to a bowl game.
Yes.
He probably felt personally responsible for that.
His
Even
words
though
were,
it's not, he's a big part, but it's not everything.
No, his words were, I let the seniors down, and now they can't play in a bowl game.
He felt like it was his fault as a sophomore. Now, he's a big part of 6-0. And after Saturday's game, by the way, he had great comments. He says, quarterback gets way too much credit when they win, too much blame when they lose. I don't think he said blame when they lose, but it's true. He said, we're a team, man, and we're 6-0. Like, he was 0-4 as a starter last year, 6-0 as a starter this year. Incredible. He didn't even have the job won. He had to win the job, and now he's winning over hearts and minds throughout the country, which
yes,
is awesome.
I love his commentary. Because he did point out in the post game after Arizona, hey, I've got a winning record now, 2-2 games.
Remember when Kalani was almost 500 after 2019? Now he's like 20-something games above?
Amazing.
Like, awesome. Okay, there are three unbeaten teams in conference play in the Big 12, and the Cougars, Iowa State, Texas Tech. Is BYU the best team in the Big 12 right now?
By strength of record, yes. What have Iowa State and Texas Tech done through their six games that are better on the resume than what BYU has done?
Let's look at the resume. Let's break it down.
BYU has not one, but two wins against teams that are ranked currently in the top 25 right now in Kansas State and SMU. Of course, they're unbeaten. Iowa State is unbeaten. Texas Tech is not unbeaten and had to struggle against Abilene Christian early.
Yep.
Yet the Cougars are
overtime.
Not the highest ranked team in the AP poll. Number three ESPN strength of record, and look at the efficiency numbers. Compare those to a year ago, Jerem, when they were they were below 100 in both of those categories.
In this case, we're comparing to Iowa State and Texas Tech. So let's look at Iowa State. Let's look at Texas Tech as well. So Iowa State also 6-0, 9 in the AP poll, 17 in FPI. Margin of victory is 20 a game. Zero wins versus team currently ranked. Their calling card is the win at Iowa.
And they had to rally for that by one.
I credit them, right, with doing that. Yeah, that hurt. Strength of record's good, number five. Efficiency, very good, but not as good as fifth. And then they're, you know, twice as good in offensive efficiency as BYU. So that's interesting. I still like the Cougars with – it depends what you value, right? What do you value? I value the two wins versus the ranked teams like you brought up. We value – the SMU and Kansas State wins. Those look great. You look at Texas Tech, I don't think they compare. I think we're just doing them a favor by putting them up here because they're 3-0 in league.
One at Arizona.
Yeah, number 46 in FPI, zero wins versus teams currently ranked, 25th in strength of record. Good team, don't get me wrong. 51st in offensive efficiency, 87th in defense efficiency. They don't hold a candle to what BYU and Iowa State are doing right now when you look at this resume, right? But they have shown that they're good. They're 3-0 starting so far. That's great. When I look at kind of the super ranking, which is my composite of Sagarin, FEI, Beta Rank, K-Ford, SP+, Iowa State is first in the league. They're an average of 14. BYU's third with an average of 23. And then Texas Tech, you look, they're coming in fifth in the Big 12 in that. With an average of 39. So if you look at this, like the super ranking, which I think takes some preseason predictive stuff into account, which who cares now? Like, what have you actually done? BYU, to me, is the best team in the Big 12. And if they weren't, I would say it. But I think BYU is the best team in the Big 12 right now. By the way, Iowa State never had a 10-win season. Like, they are not the same program either. So I'm not sure why Iowa State's getting all this love. The win at Iowa was perceived as being this unbelievable win.
Yeah, because in the history, recent history, they just haven't been able to do it consistently.
Yes. So that got a lot of love. But now, if you just, like, clear the slate, look at the resumes, then place, BYU should be higher.
Yes. The strength of record for Iowa State is 5, which when I looked this morning, I was like, that's a little better than I expected it to be.
Yes.
But, again, they put a ton of value into beating your rival and on the road. And they have handled their Big 12 competition. I mean, they made West Virginia in Morgantown look silly.
Mm-hmm.
I was very impressed with Iowa State. I think they are a complete football team. But they don't quite have the resume that BYU does.
Yes.
So if we're just picking the best team based on what have you done to this point, then I give the edge and the nod to BYU. I don't think this seems very logical to me.
Yeah. No, just looking at the numbers and who you've actually beaten. And in the end, who cares? This doesn't really matter. It's fun to talk about.
Yes.
But just keep winning and you'll be in a good spot.
Here's the thing about the AP poll. If you get in and you keep winning, voters are not typically going to drop you or have other teams, unless it's like a monumental win, leapfrog you.
Yes.
So BYU got in after... not a surprise to anyone. Iowa State did. Iowa State's been in the poll longer. They have continued to win, and so they have methodically climbed, and they're above BYU. But if the voters had time, which they don't, and which they will not make time, looked at actual resumes, and were like, okay, let's compare BYU and Iowa State head-to-head. Who should be ranked higher? Then BYU would probably get a few more votes, but this is the media, and they got a bunch of things to do.
Oh, the media, those guys.
They got deadlines to hit, and it's just, I just got to submit my poll. Iowa State won? Okay, yeah, good. These teams lost? Okay, drop those. Iowa State goes up. Good. It's pretty much that simple.
Yeah. BYU does not have a schedule of such, maybe Arizona State if they keep going, where they have, like, this big win that would help them leapfrog. Iowa State plays Kansas State in the regular season finale.
They have to play at Utah as well.
That's a big one, at Utah. Utah has two losses in league, so right now they don't look like that's that big win, right? They're not ranked. Maybe they get back to that. Maybe I don't know. If BYU continues to win, I'm not worried about anything. I'm not worried.
No, like, just win.
Keep winning.
What's on your schedule? Yeah, Iowa State has to play at Utah, Kansas State, as you mentioned, and they got the showdown with Texas Tech.
Yeah, that's coming up in a couple weeks. Yep.
So there are some real tests for the Cyclones and the Red Raiders that approach.
Yeah. Let's go.
Our poll question of the day. You've heard our arguments, and you've seen the statistics, the resumes.
And you're probably a Cougar fan.
Is BYU football the best team in the Big 12 right now? Six games in, yes, no poll question. Honestly, I'm surprised that so many have voted no. 68.5% say yes, 31.5% say no. And I will say this. There have been multiple national guys, including Mark Ingram last week, who said, I still believe Kansas State is the best team in the conference.
Metrically, they are the best team.
They ran into a buzzsaw. They had some weird bounces. The non-offensive touchdowns. Even Brett McMurphy told us yesterday, I don't really know how good BYU is. Like, I can look at the stats and say, oh, their defense is really good, but their offense is, I don't know. They've been opportunistic, but they haven't been, you know, mind-blowing. But their special teams and some bounces have gone in their favor. So,
oh, BYU is well-balanced, therefore they're punished in some way. That's kind of a weird argument to me. We do value, like, oh, if you have an explosive offense, you have this, like, flavor that's more enjoyable to perceptions and voters and that kind of thing. What if BYU's defense is the best thing? It is. BYU's well-balanced. They don't need a ton of yards.
By the way, does anybody have an issue with that? That BYU's defense is the best thing on the
apparently
team?
Apparently the voters and perception. I'm saying, among Cougar Nation, no. No.
You shouldn't.
We like good offense around here, historically, but, yeah. That's interesting. Okay, continue to weigh in. I'd like to revisit that later in the show and see how the people are.
Yes, hashtag BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram. Wow. Cast your vote. It's that time of year.
Okay. Yes, it is. Still figuring some stuff out there. Okay, it's women's soccer right now. 4-2-2 in Big 12 play. Are they exceeding expectations? We were talking the other day. They're in fifth place in the Big 12. Feels like it's been so different from the past couple of years, and it has. They've had injuries, and they haven't played their best at times, but seems like they're playing better, Spence. Are they exceeding your expectations right now?
Yes, absolutely they are.
Nice.
And I said early on, if this team finishes with a winning record, then we should all absolutely celebrate that, because when you lose five draft picks to the National Women's Soccer League, some all-timers, and you are so senior-heavy a year ago. Was it 9 or 10?
You had 11 seniors, 9 started.
Yeah, okay, goodbye. And
can you imagine that on the BYU
defense? And then your best player tears her ACL going into the season?
Announced it on April 1st. I thought it was a joke, by the way.
Yeah, timing.
Ellie Walbrook. I was like, is this real?
Ellie Walbrook was going to be the carryover. Like, we're gonna be okay because she's
and
in
Aaron
there.
And Bailey. They both had 10-plus goals last year.
These players have missed multiple games, if not the entire season. Yep. So many injuries. Yep. So many young players. Jerem, 4-2-2 in league play? Are you kidding me? Yeah, they're exceeding expectations. I'm super impressed that what Jen Rockwood and her staff have been able to do with a young team. And I said it yesterday, watch out. Year or two, this team is going to be scary once again. We'll be a heavy Big 12 favorite. And could be headed back to another Elite Eight or College Cup.
Like, I'm not even mad. I'm actually impressed. They got 6-5-4 overall record. They're on the bubble, according to Chris Henderson, who's kind of this
last team
NCAA
in
women's
as of yesterday.
Soccer analyst.
Last team in.
So they're right there. They got big games against Baylor and Houston coming up Thursday and Monday at home. So make sure you check those out. Go to the games. Watch. Exciting. I'm with you. They're above expectation. You never know what to expect when you lose that much production.
All right. Now, you are the voice of BYU Women's Volleyball on ESPN Plus and for our BYU TV crew. They have, man, they've won some really fun matches. It has been extremely frustrating, too, to lose so many five-set matches and the majority of those by 2 points.
Yep.
Is BYU Women's Volleyball, again, a young team, exceeding expectations?
Expectations are high for this program. They've been in the top 25, 175 straight polls. I mean, it is unbelievable.
Still number 24.
And number 24, they beat Iowa State last night in 4, which is nice when they play Utah Saturday night. They start 3 freshmen in setter Alex Bauer, Ellie Mortensen on the outside, and Lulu Uluave at libero. They've started Blakely Bobek opposite at times, a true freshman. It's impressive. And then 2 sophomores lead.
Claire Little
and Brielle Kemvor. They're better than expected at this point. They're very young. But the expectation is to make the NCAA tournament. And right now they're in a position to do so, which is exciting. But they got to keep it going. They got to keep it going over the next several weeks. So, yeah, they're exceeding expectations.
Yes.
As well.
If you skim it on the surface, it's like, we look at the Big 12 preseason poll. And
supposed to be second.
Yeah, what BYU does, it's like, no, nah, not. Nah. Oh, they are. They are.
The poll was unfair to who the roster was.
Frankly. Absolutely, just like it was to BYU women's soccer.
They're growing, getting better. Oh, yeah, women's soccer
started. BYU opened the season number 3 in the country?
Yeah.
We were like, Does anybody know what's happening here?
Give them a minute, yep.
So, yes, yep. I think both are slightly exceeding expectations. I'm here for it.
We didn't have this about cross country because they basically have to win the Natty. To exceed the expectations.
It's a tough standard.
Both of the top 2
it's
or 3.
It's a tough standard.
They're both so good. They're both so good.
You know what? Ed Eystone and company and Dilgey Taylor and company, they're up for it. They're up for
NAU,
it.
NAU, Oklahoma State, we coming for you.
All right. Good stuff. Let's head to break.
Let's do it. BYU and Oklahoma State, broadcast schedule. Tomorrow, we'll be live at the stadium, all bundled up and stuff.
You want sweater weather? You got it, man.
Woohoo! Noon Eastern, 8 Eastern pregames on BYU TV and BYU Radio. The games on ESPN, 10:15 Eastern, and BYU Radio.
Let's call it big coat weather. Up next, Barry Trammell, friend of the program. He writes for the Tulsa World. He has long covered Oklahoma sports. Who starts a quarterback for the Cowboys, and what does he expect tomorrow night? This is BYUSN.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
Looking for Marion in triple coverage! Makes the catch! At the 10-5 touchdown! Keelan Marion opens the second half.
I actually was shocked myself. I didn't even know how to like celebrate anything. I just like hugged the guys.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, live in Studio B.
Is this our, like, free rip-off of, what's my age again? What's my age again? By Blink-182.
Perhaps.
That's what that sounded like.
Perhaps.
I don't know. Punk is my favorite.
I like the energy that music brings.
Yeah.
I feel like it's appropriate for the energy that Keelan Marion brings to BYU football.
He does bring the juice. He's
right?
Fun, man.
Yes. Incredibly entertaining personality, really fast, and the first guy to return a kick for a touchdown in 10 seasons for BYU. I had an opportunity to speak with Keelan about BYU starting 6-0, what he expects from Oklahoma State's defense, and the one thing that nobody knows, but everybody should know about his roommate, Darius Lassiter, one-on-one with Keelan Marion. Keelan, this is a unique shorter week for BYU as you prepare for Oklahoma State. So how has the schedule been adjusted for you and your teammates?
You know, some things just been pushed back, so we just been trying to take care of the bodies, you know, recover, because, you know, they're coming off a bye week, so we just been trying to recover, get the legs back under us for Friday.
What'd you learn from the film against Arizona? Because your coach said that while he was happy with the win, there's still some things that he wants to see cleaned up. So what are you trying to clean up on offense specifically?
You know, we're just trying to clean up the little things like the alignments, our splits on plays and stuff, getting the plays in quicker instead of using timeouts and stuff like that. So this whole week, they just been preaching to us about, you know what I'm saying, getting out the huddle with urgency and stuff like that to just move quicker and faster.
All right, let's look at from game one against Southern Illinois to the end of game 6 against Arizona. Where do you feel like the BYU offense has improved the most over 6 games?
I feel like we improved in the running game. You know, that we always knew we could throw the ball, but you know, last year we had a problem with running. So this year we've been just going hard on the run game. So and them guys been toting. You know, Hinkley, LJ, you know, Pokai, Sione, all them guys just getting their miles. They all getting there toting the ball.
Technically speaking, your quarterback, Jake Retzloff, is the leading rusher. How do you feel about Jake as a runner?
Yeah, that's what people don't know. Jake got wheels, and Jake could escape the pockets. Jake got wheels on him.
Okay, 40-yard sprint. You and Jake, maybe Darius in there. How close is the race?
I got them by 4 yards. I got both of them by like 4 yards. Okay. I got both of them.
This is I believe this. This is what I expect. Okay. Now, that question aside, as you get back to game prep in Oklahoma State, what have you seen from their defense and how BYU matches up with the Oklahoma State D?
I know they change it up. You know, they run a lot of cover one. They throw in some zero, some cover four, some 3-2. So last year they were doing a lot of U coverage, 3-3-5 type stuff. So they change it up. But, you know, it's same guys, same backups we seen, you know, last year. We know it didn't end the way we wanted to. So this year, you know, we just trying not to let that happen again.
How much of the revenge factor plays into the mentality of the preparation of this game? Because BYU is 0-3 all time against Oklahoma State, and obviously last year's loss had an extra sting because it kept you from a bowl game. So how do you use that?
We know what we could do. We played them last year, so we know what we can do. Obviously, you know, people seen the score last year. You know, we let them come back. And coach just been preaching us on this week, don't get too relaxed and don't get too comfortable and keep the foot on the gas.
You've enjoyed warm weather games for much of the year. It's going to be a little colder on Friday night. So how does that impact or change your preparation?
I know Coach Pop told us it was going to be just like the game we played in Stillwater last year. You know, it was cold, rainy, it was slippery, we were falling and stuff. And, you know, we played Iowa State last year, so we had a bunch of slipping and falling issues. So he told us to have our spike cleats ready, so we don't need no slipping. So Coach Pop told us it's going to be the same tight weather, so just be ready.
What type of environment do you expect at Lavelle Edwards Stadium? Because I know you're a guy that really it feeds off the energy of the stadium. Yeah. So what do you expect Friday night?
Oh, I know it's going to be like Big Noon was there last week. Even though they're not there this week, it's still going to be rocking. The fans are going to still come with their noise and their support. So we ready to roll.
A lot of people might get a little bit nervous. And I'm talking about the collective fan base, about the added national spotlight. You do not seem to be impacted by this. You seem very much in the moment. So how are you and the team handling the hype as it grows from day to day?
You know, and we ain't letting it change us. We still going to come here, attack the weight room. We're going to attack the film. We're going to attack, everybody going to get their notes down and everything. So we just continue to just keep attacking everything the right way, just like we started from week one. No one expected us to be like this, and, like, it ain't nothing we didn't expect. So we just got to keep doing what we're doing and keep our same routine.
Let's stay with that topic because, again, this is a 5-7 team a year ago. Now you're 6-0 and ranked number 13. What is the biggest difference between last year's squad and this year's group?
We're a closer team. You know, we went camping this fall camp. We went up to Heber Valley, camped with each other. So, you know, there's no phones, no video games, nothing like that. So, you're really, you know, talking to some people you thought you would never talk to. Like, it's guys in the locker room that you might not talk to every day, 24/7. In the camping trip, you know, you're placed with guys you never thought you would talk to. So, I think that brought us closer. You learned about everybody's background and where they come from and everything at the camp. So, I think that brought us very close.
Again, with the 6 wins and no losses, now BYU is all of a sudden a legitimate contender for a Big 12 championship. Like, how do you handle maybe some of those expectations as they grow and the excitement of that idea?
I wouldn't say there's no big expectations. You know, we have our own expectations of what we want to accomplish, and we knew that's what we wanted to accomplish. We know we could accomplish it last year. So we just, you know, like I say, we just keep continue to stay with the same routine, you know, just stand on the grind.
The wide receiver room has some of the biggest, most enjoyable personalities on the team, but we only see a little bit of it. What is it like inside film session and inside that room every day?
You know, it's going to always be some jokes. It's going to be some serious moments where we, like, you know, we hard on ourselves. It's going to be some times where we, you know, watch some film of some stuff that we do and laugh at and stuff. But, like, it's a lot of fun going on. And we know when it's time to lock in and when it's time to play.
Listen, Darius is happy to, like, put you on blast, okay? So what's something that we need to know about Darius behind the scenes, who is your beloved roommate?
He practiced all his TikTok celebrations every night. He practiced them in the living room every night. He practiced his TD celebrations every weekend. I'm telling y'all that. He not going to tell y'all that, but he practiced them every weekend, no matter what. We can be in the living room playing the game, and he'll just get the TikToking. He, trust me, he don't just come off the head with those. He practiced those.
How would you rate his dancing after all of the practice?
Oh, he's the best dancer on the team. He the best dancer on the team. We always try to hype him up to get him going because we know he can dance and stuff. He act like he doesn't like it, but hey, trust me, he loves it. He loves it for sure. He loves it for sure, though.
Oh, we saved the best for last. Keelan, congratulations on an amazing start for BYU football. Can't wait to watch you guys go play on Friday night.
Yes, sir. We're going to get the dub. Go Cougs.
Keelan is so great. He is so great. That was great. Inside to Darius. That was awesome. Check out the latest Her Why podcast featuring women's basketball star Amari Whiting as she opens up about leaning on her faith and family to overcome an ACL injury and her decision to decommit from Oregon and to play at BYU. Find it wherever you get your podcast.
After the break, details on that big road win for BYU women's volleyball from last night and more on the soccer showdown for BYU women's soccer as they continue exceeding expectations. Headlines are next on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Back in Studio B, I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's roll out your Wednesday head or your Thursday or your, yeah, it's Thursday.
You know what? We got a Friday mindset code tomorrow's
Thursday
game day.
Thursday headlines.
Number 13, BYU hosts Oklahoma State tomorrow night at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. Cougars currently 9-point favorites. Oklahoma State hasn't named a starting quarterback quite yet. We could see backup Garrett Rangel or third string Zane Flores. Pre-game coverage begins tomorrow night, 8 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
What happened to Alan Bowman? I love that dude's personality.
His numbers are actually good.
We'll see. Cougars in the NFL tonight, specifically Zach Wilson and the Denver Broncos. Take on the New Orleans Saints and Taysom Hill, Jamal Williams. On Thursday Night Football, Taysom listed as doubtful for the game. Jamal Williams, we expect to see him. Hill's injury has been cited as a rib injury.
Number 24, women's volleyball won at Iowa State last night in 4 sets, 13 kills from both Claire Little and Ellie Mortensen. Cougars host that team up north Saturday at 9 Eastern on ESPN+ in a top 25 matchup.
And BYU women's soccer hosting Baylor tonight. The Cougars off their first road win of the season at Kansas State, 1-0. They're currently tied for 5th in conference. You can watch tonight's game, 9 Eastern, live on ESPN+.
And men and women's tennis are playing in the ITA Fall Regional Tournaments beginning today, going through the weekend. Men's team playing in Vegas, women's team in Las Cruces, New Mexico. Okay, BYU Sports Nation, I'm excited, Spence. We're going to be live from Kansas City coming up next Tuesday and Wednesday for Big 12 Basketball Media Days. Women on Tuesday, the men on Wednesday. We will be live from Kansas City.
It's a busy itinerary. Provo, Kansas City, then to Orlando, then to Miami, and then back home.
Nice, bro.
Up next, Barry Trammell of the Tulsa World previews the Oklahoma State game. Who does he think will start at quarterback for the Cowboys? And what is it going to take to get Ollie Gordon going? This is BYUSN. Back in Studio B, this is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. Spencer Linton and Jerem Jordan here. And now we welcome in Barry Trammell, who is now writing for the Tulsa World, longtime sports columnist, and has done it at an elite level following the Oklahoma team. So naturally, Oklahoma State in town. Let's bring in the expert so he can answer some questions. Barry, welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How's things in Provo?
Couldn't be better. 6-0 and awesome, man.
Just like we all thought, Barry. Everybody thought this was going to happen for BYU. How is your perception of what's going on in the Big 12, specifically with BYU?
Well, I'm very pleased for the Cougars. I was optimistic that they were underrated, but I was not so optimistic that I thought they would be in the upper level, you know, one of the 5 or 6 contenders. It makes a lot of sense, though, in this age of turmoil and turnover, and you never know what you're going to get, because BYU is a really solid place. The portal doesn't hit Provo going or coming as much as it does a lot of people. So if you build a strong program, I think you got the upper hand. The same could be said of Oklahoma State, of course. I mean, this is a team that had 19 or 20 starters returning, lots of experience. It's gone the other way for the Cowboys, but very pleased for BYU. I thought we saw elements of BYU's potential success last year. You know, the Cougars are 5-5 going into their Oklahoma two-step to finish the season, and they could have won either one of those games. The Sooners in Provo, Cowboys in Stillwater, excellent games on both ends, came up on the wrong end for BYU, so they missed the postseason. But you could tell there were some foundations that were in place for Kalani's team to be much better and be successful in 2024.
That's a great point, because, you know, BYU's, you know, just this close to being 7-5 and finishing the win with 2 ranked teams on the other side there. Now they're 6-0 this year. Oklahoma State expected to be very good and contend in the Big 12. They've started 0-3 in league. This is not – Mike Gundy does not produce teams that kind of look like this at this point. Granted, they still have time to recover and get to a bowl game and whatnot. But what's been behind the 0-3 start in league so far for the Cowboys?
Well, they clearly had the makings of a good team, right? I mean, they beat Arkansas in Stillwater. Arkansas turned out to be a really good team. They beat Tennessee, and I think Razorbacks are 4-2. But the offense just can't get out of the starting gate. They can't run the ball at all. They've got that veteran line. They've got six sixth-year guys on that offensive line, and they just can't block anybody. So Ollie Gordon hasn't got out of the starting gate. And Alan Bowman has not been very effective compared to last year. He's a seventh-year quarterback. You sort of expect him to be better than this. We think he's not going to start on Friday night at Brigham Young. I think Garrett Rangel is probably the guy. So they're looking for a spark. Haven't found one. They can't get the strength of the team is the receiving core. They're very good, but they can't get them the ball. Teams are able to shut down the run, which means they're able to play the pass pretty good. So just not very good on offense. Defensively, they're okay before injuries hit. Their two best players are out, Colin Oliver and Nick Martin, both top-level linebackers. And I saw one poll, a media poll, that even now Nick Martin's missed the last game and a half. The media poll voted him Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year.
Wow.
To this point. I don't think that's probably accurate, but he's a really good player. Colin Oliver is also, but they're both out, haven't been playing. Cowboy defense has been gutted, so it's pretty susceptible to big plays and sustained drives. So right now the Cowboys are just a floundering football team.
Barry Trammell of the Tulsa World is on BYU Sports Nation. If Rangel is going to start at quarterback for Oklahoma State, what type of QB is he? What is his skill set, and what does he bring to the Cowboys, assuming he is hitting on all cylinders?
Well, he's had a strange career. This is third year in Stillwater, and if he starts, it'll be the third straight year in which he started at least one game. So he was part of the Mike Gundy's unorthodox three-man rotation last September. First three games of the year, Gundy rotated three quarterbacks. Rangel started one of those games. And he started a couple of games in 2022 as a true freshman. He's sort of an indistinguishable quarterback. He runs okay. He throws okay. But he hasn't shown that he does either one at a high level. And he's made some mistakes, too. So, frankly, this is sort of a last chance saloon type situation for Garrett Rangel. I think OSU's trying to find out if he's got the potential to be their quarterback in the years to come. So there'll be some pressure on him if he takes over this offense. He's played okay in a couple of games, not okay in a couple. So it's a little bit of a crapshoot and just another reason to like BYU in this game.
BYU's finally a big favorite. BYU 6-0 against the spread. It's like, oh, can they do it again? I don't know. You look across there and you see the Doak Walker Award winner, Ollie Gordon II, who's an NFL running back. You mentioned that line with all the experience. They haven't been able to block anybody. 3.8 yards per carry and 4 touchdowns this year. He's not going over 100 yards. What's up with Ollie Gordon II and this line? And how much is Ollie? How much is the line?
Well, I think it's mostly the line. Ollie looks like he's still playing hard. He looks like he's still, a second effort, straining himself for extra yardage. He's doing all the things a great back does, but he's there's just not much in the way of holes. And it's very bewildering because, everybody was high on this offensive line. Some had them ranked among the five best offensive lines in America. Same guys are blocking for him that blocked for him for the Doak Walker Award. So it's a mystery. I think what we saw down the stretch, BYU did this a little bit. Central Florida was excellent at it. Texas was excellent at it. But teams really schemed to shut down Ollie Gordon down the stretch last season. And they said, you're not going to beat us. And that's what teams are doing this year. And the Cowboys have not been able to respond with the passing game to the extent you have to. So some of that's on Alan Bowman. Some of that is on the pass blocking. Most of it is on the run blocking. It's just not been an offensive mystery. I think there's probably going to be some staff changes at the end of the year, which Mike Gundy, particularly on offense, has done from time to time. So we'll see. But this is a very disappointing year. when, you know, OSU came into the season ranked, I think, preseason 15, I think, a Big 12 title contender, a college football playoff contender. Now both of those appear gone, and it just looks like a lost season.
Barry Trammell is an award-winning journalist for the Tulsa World following the Oklahoma football programs. Barry, when you look at the top of the Big 12 right now, three unbeaten teams, Iowa State, BYU, Texas Tech, who's the best team in the Big 12 right now? And some people think it's 2-1 Kansas State.
Well, I actually, I rank BYU and Iowa State 1-2. I think, you know, Texas Tech, I don't really put in their class. The Red Raiders have had a fairly easy schedule. They've had a couple of close calls. When you look at what BYU's done, outside of maybe Oregon, I don't know that any school in America has two wins as good as BYU does. SMU and Kansas State both would be either top 10 or knocking on the top 10 if they hadn't lost to the Cougars. So I like Brigham Young's resume very, very much. I thought Iowa State's win at Iowa was big, not only for the Cyclones, but for the Big 12, really did a good number for the conference. So I think those two teams have elevated themselves, and I think Kansas State is really good also. They had a bad, what was it, five-minute stretch in Provo, maybe it's 7 minutes, I can't remember, but, you know, they give up the four touchdowns in 7 minutes and get blown out by the Cougs. But I think Kansas State's got a really good team. That was a really gutty win at Boulder on Saturday night. So I think those are the three best teams. Those are the three I'm putting my money on to be in Arlington. I would say Tech is also in the running. West Virginia with only one loss. They play K-State on Saturday night. Mm-hmm. They could be in the tier. And whoever wins Arizona State, Cincinnati is going to be 3-1 in the league. I don't think they can sustain that. But, you know, if you get to 3-1, you're ahead of a lot of people. So I think those are the teams we're looking at. But Brigham Young, Iowa State, and Kansas State, I think, are the three favorites. Two of those three are who I expect to be in Arlington.
We're about halfway through the season, so a lot could happen still, as you mentioned. But how are you feeling about what the Big 12 could do in the 12-team playoff? Because the hope is certainly that they can get two teams in.
Well, here's what needs to happen. Those three teams I mentioned, Kansas State, Iowa State, Brigham Young, they all need to win. And multiple of those teams need to win because the sum of all fears is at least a possibility out there, which is this. Boise State looks good. Boise State has lost only to Oregon, a three-point loss in Eugene. Boise State's got a couple of good games coming up in which would enhance their resume. I think they play at UNLV next week. So Boise State is a candidate for the at-large berth. And then you've got America's team, Army. Army's got yeah, Notre Dame yeah. coming up. If Army beats Notre Dame, and Army's really good, they could beat Notre Dame. If Army beats Notre Dame and wins out and wins the American title, you could have two mid-majors champions with arguments to get in and be ranked ahead of whoever wins the Big 12 or the ACC if those teams are in the 10-2 or 10-3 range. So if BYU is 11-1 or 12-1, Iowa State 11-1, 12-1, no. But if we end up with a 10-3 Big 12 champion and we've got Boise State at 12-1 and Army at 12-0 sitting out there, I don't want to even think about it. It literally could happen. So we need, as a Big 12 loyalist, we need Brigham Young to keep winning. We need Iowa State to keep winning.
Great insight from you, Barry. We appreciate the time. You're going to be in South Carolina for the Oklahoma-South Carolina game, but I know you'll be watching BYU and Oklahoma State very closely. And next time you get to Provo, we've got a seat for you.
Hey, I'm crestfallen that I don't get to Provo this year, but I'm going to make it a habit to get there every other time the Cowboys come out there.
Thanks for the time, Barry.
Thanks, Barry.
Thanks, guys.
He's right. Navy in that mix, too. It's Navy, wild. Army are both in the
American.
They're
both ranked.
And undefeated.
Yes.
And they both played Notre Dame. And they play each other at the end of the year.
They have opportunities.
Crazy, right? Women's soccer hosts Baylor tonight, Southfield, 9 Eastern on ESPN+. Can the Cougs keep it going? They got some winning mojo right now.
After the break, party time, as we get to know the Cowboys and an Oklahoma State edition of Know the Foe. Yeehaw! This is BYU Sports Nation.
Yes!
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. It's that time of the week. Know the Foe, Oklahoma State edition, where we answer incredibly random questions to see how much we might actually know about that weird stuff.
Great.
Let's bring in our producer, Colton Potter, who has produced and prepared the list of questions today. Colton, what's number one and who gets to go first?
All right, we'll start with Jerem. First question, Oklahoma State University was founded in 1890 on which holiday? Christmas, 4th of July, Easter, or Halloween?
Interesting.
You don't know this off the top of your head?
Is this in the game notes? I'm going to do 4th of July, you know, ahead of the semester then.
Okay. Oh. No?
Okay, you get a guess.
I'm going to go with D, Halloween, Colton.
Oh! It is Christmas.
Christmas Day?
Happy birthday, Jesus.
Christmas Eve, to be
and
exact.
And Oklahoma State is created.
Okay. Kay. Number two.
All right, Spencer, your question. Oklahoma State is located in Stillwater, Oklahoma. Which Hall of Fame is also in Stillwater? Is it the Golden Retriever Show Dog Hall of Fame, the Rodeo Hall of Fame, the International Bowling Hall of Fame, or the Wrestling Hall of Fame?
I think I actually know this, and it's D, Wrestling Hall of Fame. Yeah!
They're unbelievable at wrestling. Yes. It's the best thing they do, right? That it could have worked for most things. I would have thought maybe rodeo for wrestling was another.
Yes.
Just because.
Sure.
Because Oklahoma.
Should the Rodeo Hall of Fame be in Wyoming?
Is Wyoming the capital of that? Is Texas maybe not? I don't know.
It's in Colorado, we're told.
It's in Colorado.
Okay. Okay, number three.
Who knew?
Okay, Jerem, your next question.
Go.
Stillwater is the birthplace of what genre of country music? Cowpunk, red dirt,
what?
Bluegrass, or blue yodeling?
I'll be honest, I didn't know that most of these were real things besides bluegrass. is cowpunk a real genre of country music?
Yes,
red
these are all real genres.
These are all real genres?
These are all real genres.
That's a red dirt song.
I'm not a country music guy. I'm going to go red dirt.
Hey! Red dirt for the win.
Red dirt.
Guessing for the win.
That was me in the testing center at BYU. B?
B-C.
I mean, with my Scantron.
BC.
Do they still do Scantrons in the test? They do? Okay.
Old school, baby.
Yeah.
Okay, last question, Spencer. Go. This is for you. Oklahoma State's mascot is a cowboy named Pistol Pete. What is the name of the real-life cowboy that Pistol Pete is based on? Oh. Is it Buffalo Bill Cody, Bill Pickett, Frank B. Eaton, or Jesse James Jr.?
Frank B. Eaton?
Wow.
Sounds like something out of The Simpsons.
I'm going to go with B, Bill Pickett.
Give me D, Jesse James Jr.
It is Frank B. Eaton.
That's a real person? Right. Hey, where's Frank? Frank B. Eaton.
Frank B. Eaton.
Frank B. Eaton.
He no longer with us. Like caveman talk.
Frank B.
Oh, there's a reason we love that.
Never
segment.
Fails to be awesome.
It's
Know the Foe.
It's enjoyable.
I learned way
we
more listening
it.
To that than I do this show the whole week.
Yeah, we enjoy it. Hopefully you enjoy it. If you don't, too bad, because we're going to keep doing it.
Sorry, not
Our
sorry.
Poll question of the day is this. Is BYU the best football team in the Big 12 right now?
What a biased question.
68% of you still say yes. 32% say no.
I'm interested in the 32%. BYU's resume looks really good to us. Yeah.
Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated from at Matt Dahlberg on X, who says, the K-State blowout puts BYU barely ahead of Iowa State, in my opinion.
That's the best win. Yeah, absolutely. It's better than winning at Iowa.
That's why BYU has a better strength of record. Straight up.
People act like it's some accident or anomaly. It's like, BYU did that. Why is BYU punished for
it? The ball bounced their way.
Like four times
in
a row?
Did they not force those turnovers?
Yeah,
come on. Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
The BYU offensive line was awarded Beef of the Week from Old Trapper. Two straight weeks. We didn't know what happened last week. Beef of the Week.
Let's go. Led by
Bruce
back.
Mitchell.
Back.
Yeah, how about
Big Beef Bruce Mitchell.
Bruce.
He graded out 100%, by the way.
Oh, that's amazing.
100%. Our thanks to today's guests, Barry Trammell and Keelan Marion.
Sorry, Dennis.
Shout out to Garrett Juergens. Go Cougs!